Well, well, well. Are you as surprised as I am? I tried to tell him. I really did. I tried to tell him this wasn't a good idea. And well, hi, everyone. I'm Gary, and I'm glad to see you're here tonight. And thank you for all those that reached out throughout this week when you found out that I was going to be doing this. About 3 weeks ago, I was in Pastor Becky's office, and she asked me about speaking tonight, and I hesitated and leaned across the desk, and we arm wrestled, and she beat me. She beat me. You're very strong. Very strong. That's really not true. It was 2 out of 3, I think, and I beat you once, so. But no, actually, a true story is that it's funny. I'm here tonight, and then Monday, I'm going for eye surgery. Nothing serious, but necessary. And the reality is you are all really a big blur right to me tonight. And it's to my advantage. I'm sure you're a lot of beautiful people sitting here tonight. But unless you're about 3 feet away, I got nothing. I really don't. So let me tell you what tonight is not. This isn't going to be a sermon. It wasn't intended to be. We'll leave that to the pastors of the church. And this isn't about my personal testimony or story, because we don't have enough time for that tonight. And it's not about you giving something more up for Lent. You've already sacrificed and determined that would be. But this is about adding something into your experience and your walk with Christ. I'm here to speak with you with something you're likely very familiar with. And it's really just 4 simple and practical ways and disciplines of engaging more deeply in Scripture. I really wish I could tell you that I've discovered some brand new cutting edge concepts or ways that you haven't heard of before. But the truth of the matter is it's God's word, and it's timeless, and it stands on its own. But the question is, are we using it to the fullest? What are we doing with it? My goal tonight will be to challenge you and to remind you of those disciplines and ask you to start or to revisit one of these during the season of Lent and beyond as you grow in your walk. Remember, as Pastor Becky said, the season of Lent is designed for us to just slow down, for us to reflect inward and to see how God wants to grow us, how he wants to form us, how he wants to shape us. And it's going to require a bit of a soul search on your part to discover if there are distractions or things preventing you from doing that. I'm certain most everyone here understands how powerful the Word of God is. And I'm sure each of you has a story how Scripture has impacted your life. Perhaps it was the very reason you came to faith, or it may have been the thing you leaned on when crisis hit your life. But you know, there's a very supernatural effect that happens when we read it, and we study it, and we allow it to work within us. For me, a few years back, I ran into a very difficult time in my life. My world had collapsed. It was dark. It was confusing. It was exhausting. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I didn't have the foundation of Scripture and the Word of God, I never would have made it through to today. At the core of it, engaging in Scripture is truly relationship building, wouldn't you agree? It'd be fair to say that everyone here tonight has worked on relationships in one way or another, whether you're married or in forming a new relationship or a friendship. And what does that require? It really requires spending time with that person, some quality time, and really getting to know them. And I would just suggest we need to approach our walk with God in much the same way. He really is longing for that relationship. 2 Timothy 3:16 gives us an example of what the importance of the Word of God is. And it says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for correction, for training and guidance. You know, we live in a world of technology, and many of us would not go on a destination without first plugging those coordinates into our phones. We want to know the distance and the timing and what that all looks like. We wouldn't even probably go across town to a new business or a new location without first getting those coordinates set in so we have a guidance and a path to take us there. And I experienced kind of a similar thing this past summer when Aaron and I decided to go up to Door County for a day, and we're going to visit a place I wasn't familiar with, so as the driver, I simply asked, well, give me the coordinates, and I'll put them in, and away we go. And I kind of got one of these, today we're going to do something different. We're going to use a map. And out came the Rand McNally. You know that big red one that's got every county on each page? And I'm like, okay, I've got the day off. I got a full tank of gas. How bad can it be? And I would tell you, that we made it. You know, we made it through with just maybe one slight little detour. We had one little mishap, not bad. But we did reach our destination. And even going forward with that old school way of doing things, we still had a guide. We had something to lead us along that path. And my point is that we really need that in our spiritual lives as well. We need to use God's word for navigation and for guidance in our life. But the reality is we need to do more than just give it a casual glance. I'm sorry to say, but a Sunday experience alone isn't going to cut it. We need to develop a discipline of engagement with God throughout the week. Life happens Monday through Saturday as well. So let's discover some ways we can more effectively engage in Scripture, right? There's four different things. And the first discipline I'm going to talk about is reading. Well, that's deep, right? Reading, that's really but it's really the simplest and most easy form of engaging in Scripture. But are we doing it daily? I'm just asking a question. What's the real point of reading? Well, when we read, it's really God communicating and talking and speaking with us, isn't it? Reading Scripture matters because it shapes the inside of a person. People engage in Scripture not just for information, but for formation. It will change us from the inside out. There are some other key reasons to read. It will give us moral and spiritual guidance. Scripture offers a framework for right and wrong, for humility and for courage. And when life gets messy and confusing, it provides steady principles to lean on rather than waffling with opinions or impulses. It connects you to something bigger than yourself. Scripture reminds readers that their lives are part of a larger story, one involving God and humanity and purpose. And that sense of belonging can bring meaning and hope and perspective, especially in hard seasons. It shapes character. Regular engagement with Scripture encourages qualities like patience and self-control and forgiveness, integrity and love. And over time, those teachings move from words on a page into habits and attitudes and actions in our life. It offers comfort and strength. People often turn to Scripture in times of grief and fear and uncertainty because it speaks to suffering and it speaks to perseverance and hope. And many passages have carried people through loss, doubt, and major life transitions, as mentioned earlier in my life. It deepens faith in our understanding. Reading Scripture helps believers understand who God is and how he introduced himself to humanity in the Old Testament and how he relates to humanity and currently what faith looks like in our daily life. It challenges. It challenges and it corrects. Scripture just does not affirm. It confronts. It pushes its readers to reflect, to repent, and to grow, to change, even when that's uncomfortable. It builds community and it builds tradition. Scripture connects individuals to generations before them who ask the same questions and wrestled with the same struggles that we do today. So understand, reading Scripture isn't just about checking a box. It's about letting ancient wisdom speak into modern life, shaping how we think, how we love, and how we act. Well, you might be asking, Gary, how do I read effectively? I'm glad you asked me that question. Read for connection and not completion. I think we've all felt the need to go through the Bible in a year, and so it becomes this arduous task of got to read, we got to get so much done every day. I think we lose the impact of the word. Those are great goals, and we should do that. I have nothing against that. But I think at some point we need to just slow down. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality you're reading. And let those things work in our lives. Reading for connection. And in doing that, we can just ask some very simple questions to help us along. We might ask, well, what does this scripture, what does this passage show me about God? What does this passage show me about the people or myself? How should I respond to what I've just read? And more importantly, what line just hit a nerve in me? Understand, the Bible isn't written like a modern book. It's poetry and it's narrative and letters and wisdom and prophecy. All those wonderful things that are buried within the pages of Scripture ready to be discovered. Read it like you're savoring lyrics, not like you're cramming for a test. If you do that, a bond and a connection will form with you in the Scripture. Use a translation that fits your brain. How many of us had read things and we're just like, what? I just do not even, what are they talking about? So reading multiple translations can really be a way to unlock what you're reading and getting something more out of that. Read several different ones, and see how that opens up. And then link it to your actual life. Ask yourself some questions as well as, where am I anxious right now, or where am I just stuck or tired? So those are some things about reading. Let's get into the discipline of studying the Scripture. So the second way is studying the Word, and it is important because, you see, when we study, we begin to understand God. Reading will expose us to the text, but studying helps us understand it at a deeper level. In Acts 17:11, the Bereans, they examine the Scriptures daily to see if Paul said was true. Well, this is important because the Bereans didn't even necessarily believe everything Paul told them, but they did their due diligence, and they studied, and they knew the Word so that when something was told to them, even by Paul, they had something to back up against. I think we have a lot of good people around us who would be more than willing to speak into us and tell us what the interpretation of the Word is. Unfortunately, that can tend to get clouded with opinions and their own interpretation. So we need to know. We need to study. We need to dig in and be aware of that. Along with that, studying accomplishes several other things. In Romans 12:2, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, life constantly feeds us opinions and culture and distractions, but Scripture realigns your thinking with truth. Regular study reshapes how you see yourself and the world around you. Studying it strengthens your faith. Faith grows when you see God's track record. Stories of Genesis and Exodus and of the Gospels show us how God moves through impossible situations. And the more you remember what He's done, the more you're going to trust Him. It builds wisdom and not just knowledge. Repeated exposure to Scriptures rewires thought patterns, and over time you begin to respond instead of reacting. That's true wisdom forming. Some simple tools in aiding you in studying are clearly comparing translations. You know, we all have the YouVersion app, and there's just 100 different translations in there. There's no end to that. Clearly we have the internet, and you could just go crazy for days and weeks digging around in there. You may enjoy old school studying with books and dictionaries, commentaries and concordances, all good ways of studying. But something I think we do really well in this church is we study in community, which is a lot of what you're doing right now in small groups. You're getting involved in a small group, you're finding a topic, you're digging in. And when you do that, that discussion will definitely deepen your understanding of it. And if you're looking to get really challenged, a number of years back there was someone here at the church who led a class called Precepts. I don't know if anybody has heard of Precepts or not. It is a deep dive into every verse and phrase and cultural reference that you could imagine. It's brain numbing. It really is. But people love that. There's some people that just love that deep dive, but it is super intense. Think about Precepts if that's your thing. The third way that we're going to talk about is a discipline called memorizing Scriptures. Why should we memorize? Well, memorizing internalizes God's truth, right? In Psalms 119:11, David said, "I've hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you." And how do you hide the word in your heart? Well, it's clearly through memorization. And no one can take that away. When you've sunk that in and it becomes part of who you are, that's yours. It's yours to keep. And when God's word is in us, it does several things. For one, it's a weapon against temptation. Jesus was a clear example in the wilderness as he defeated Satan while he was being tempted. He knew the word inside and out. It's a source of comfort in difficult times. We're all familiar with Psalms 23. So many verses in there to encourage us and keep us going. And really, it's a tool for encouragement and evangelism. When we have verses memorized and within us, and we find ourselves in a situation where there's someone maybe new to faith, and they're looking for some answers, and they're looking to begin their journey, to have that within us, to be able to bring up as we need it, is much more effective than maybe thumbing through the Bible and trying to find those verses. So there are core verses you can memorize that will aid you in that if you ever run across that. There's practical ways of memorizing. Simple post-it notes and index cards, right? Little stuff. Throwing it on your vanity, or in your car, or on your refrigerator, all good ways of just seeing them and keeping the need to memorize out in front of you. Repeating verses out loud is a great way. There's something to be said for hearing yourself and speaking it and retaining it. And then set realistic goals. We really just maybe want a verse a week. We don't want big chunks. Although I'd say I didn't take that advice very well myself, where last summer I just decided to take on Psalms 91, the whole chapter. That was quite the task. But, you know, it became a part of me because I grew up with my grandmother who would walk around the house and she would recite Psalms 91, and it just, all of a sudden I just got the urge, I want to do that. And I don't care what they tell you about how, if it gets harder when you're older, it does. It does. But I will tell you, it's not impossible. It really isn't. It literally took me several months of repetition over and over and over again. But I'll tell you, there's something satisfying when you get to the end. And if you know Psalms, you know that these verses aren't just like little sentences. They're like mini paragraphs. So this challenge, I bit off a lot, but I was determined and it happened and I have no regrets. So lastly, the fourth discipline I just want to share with you quickly is about meditating on the scriptures. Probably one of my more favorite ways. Proverbs 4:23 says that above all else, to guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. When you meditate on scripture, you're intentionally choosing what fills your inner life. What fills your heart eventually shapes your actions. It builds intimacy with God. Meditation isn't just studying. It's truly communion with him. In Joshua 1, verse 8, he said that he would meditate on it day and night so that you'd be careful to do everything written in it. In Psalms 1, David said he meditated on the law day and night. Meditation really allows the scripture to sink from your mind into your heart, shaping your thoughts and your actions. Understand, it's not emptying your mind in some weird trance state of emptiness and nothingness, but it's a very controlled way of getting closer to God. Some might argue and say, I'm just too busy. I don't have time. You have no idea my schedule. I got the kids' lunches. I got to go work out. I got to go to work. I have to go home and I've got to do all these things. I'm too busy. I don't have time to sit and do nothing. They view meditating as doing nothing. And I would tell you and I would challenge you to find time that you do have time. If you look at your schedule and find bits and pieces, maybe it's that cup of coffee in the morning. Maybe it's that short driving to work where you're just sitting and thinking about the things of God. I've heard of someone say once, if you're too busy for God, you're probably busier than God wants you to be. So how can we do this? How can we meditate? What are some practical ways of doing this? Choose one passage, one verse, one scripture, and repeat it slowly over and over and over again until it sinks in. And simply ask God, what are you trying to say to me personally here? What message are you trying to give me in this verse? Now you might ask, what does meditation look like? And interestingly enough, this morning in my devotional time, one of my resources is that YouVersion app. In the end of their devotion, they had a paragraph at the end, and I read it and I go, that's incredible. That exactly demonstrates and explains what meditation is, and I'd like to share it and read it with you. It said, spend some time today thinking about God. Consider his character, that he is good and faithful and loving. Think about the things he has blessed you with. Sit for a few minutes in awe of God and simply worship him. Wow, I mean, that just perfectly said. Well, guys, it's up to you. Which one of these are you going to incorporate into your life through this Lent season and beyond? These are disciplines that will never fail, that if you give them the time, they will deliver. You don't need to rush into any of these, but you do need to start somewhere. If you only do a little bit, maybe you just read a very little bit, maybe just try a little bit more. And if you're an overachiever, maybe slow back just a little bit. Find that happy medium. I'm going to use some challenging phrases that our senior pastor uses here in my own connotations, but I'm going to use it anyway. And it goes like this: Do you have to read? No. Should you read? Yes. Do you have to study? No. Should you study? Yes. Do you have to memorize? No. Should you memorize? Yes. And do you have to meditate? No. Should you meditate? Yes. Ultimately, my prayer for you and for me is that there will be a burning desire to know him more as we develop a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and for his scriptures. We all know what physical hunger feels like and physical thirst feels like, and you're all probably saying, yeah, let's wrap this up. I got soup waiting for me out in the lobby. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap this up. But honestly, let's strive to be people pursuing God's word to the fullest. And in the words of Jeremiah, he says, when you seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. Thanks.